Hey, everybody. It's Miles, and we're here on the inaugural Psalm Sessions podcast, the Sound of Music Sessions. My name is Miles, part of your co-hosting team, and I'm joined today by...
Hello, everybody. I'm Brent.
That was enthusiastic. I loved every minute of it.
I actually rev up as time goes on.
Ah, got it. And we are joined by our first ever guest on Psalm Sessions, Mr. Ty Howie. How are you doing, bud?
Good. How are you today?
Super amazing. We're launching a podcast.
I guess so, because I'm on it.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but we are indeed launching a podcast.
I think there was duct tape involved, and we blindfolded him and dragged him in the room, and now he's on the podcast.
It's totally fine.
The look on his face now is kind of like, why am I doing this?
Well, I'm reminded daily that I was the second or third choice for my position here at the Sound of Music. So
really?
It's true.
We've got that in common.
Yeah, it's true. Not that you were the second choice, but that you were. We remind you of that daily. So, why don't we just say a little bit about ourselves, given it's our first time around here. Brent, what are you up to?
We're really excited to be doing what we're doing here. And for me, I'm a guy who comes from a real varied background in terms of industries, but the common thread is creating connections and building relationships and meeting people. And we're sort of doing that in a virtual way today, really. So I'm super excited to sit alongside and co-pilot this little project with you as we go forward.
Ah, that was nice of you to say. I'm Miles. I'm a musician, and I'm excited about this podcast. Ty, now we also know you as Ty the Mead Guy.
Yeah, Ty the Mead Guy, definitely.
Ty the Mead Guy. So it's September, and that means fall is coming, as much as we don't like to admit. It's almost October. Best part about that is autumn beer.
Yeah, autumn beer. Autumn drinks, beer.
Autumn food. You know what I love about autumn food?
Oh, pumpkin spice everything.
Pumpkin spice.
I've got to say, I've got to give the pumpkin spice a pass, but it definitely is getting into deep IPA territory for me. You know, the summer beers are over. I'm kind of done with Corona, and it's time to crank it up a little.
Were you ever started with Corona?
Well, I mean, when you're sitting by the pool and...
He just looks...
We'll just leave it at that.
So some things you need to understand about Brent. First of all, he is everything Cabo San Lucas.
Right.
Cabo Wabo is his license plate. I don't know. That might be like sensitive information to give out. Like, I'm sure this podcast is going to garner thousands of stalkers, and now they know your license
plate. Well, like Sammy Hagar saying he can't drive 55, and now I'm not going to be able to either, because every law enforcement officer on the planet is going to be looking out for my license plate.
Every law enforcement and psychotic stalker that this podcast is sure to attract.
No doubt.
You know what is what you said? Autumn food and fall food. The best and worst part about fall food is it's like everything is designed to make you fat. Like we're talking like stews and chilies and like hearty soups and
the world just wants to like butter you up for winter.
So
you can stay warm.
See, I'm a wordsmither at heart. I prefer to say we're talking about comfort food.
Yeah, well, that's just it, right? Is everything is like in a sauce with gravy, and it's thick, and it's cheesy, and it's...
But the best thing that, like, in this region specifically for the fall, in my mind, is November burger.
It's
just burgers everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is always never a bad thing.
So I'm a huge burger lover and fan as well, and, you know, kind of travel around trying to locate the best of the best around. And I think maybe we should do like a Septemberger too, and an Octoberger. Let's just have every month. Let's have every month be burger month.
I know. Like, why does it have to be just one month?
Where's your favorite burger, Ty?
Well, I'm a Hamilton guy, so I'm going to the deep roots of the Hammer. But it's a place called the Hamburger, but Hamburger.
All right, Brent, where's yours?
What's in a name, I guess, right? Yeah. Hamburger. It is a great spot. I haven't been to their Ottawa Street location yet, but many times to King William. It's a good spot. I would echo that. There's a few other good ones around town, but I'm still kind of on the hunt for the best of the best.
Yeah. There used to be a great place on Lock Street in Hamilton called Chuck's Burger Bar.
Know it well.
Which was delicious.
Yeah.
But they kind of...
Sweet potato fries.
So tying this back into the music world, so I live in Paris, and you know, right down the road we've got Brantford. There's a place called Xander's, and Xander's does like everything's named after musicians, and
right.
It's all these burgers. And there's one, I think it's like the Stones burger or something like that, and it's like a potato bun, which you have to have a potato bun. Those are amazing, and it's a deep fried pickle with a deep fried piece of back bacon. And then this barbecue sauce on a monster burger.
That's amazing.
It is. Everything about it is amazing. I absolutely love Xander's.
I give a shout out to, in Westdale, there's a place called Delirious Burger. And it's like good old fashioned smash patty flat top. But they actually coat and fry little jalapeno pepper rings.
Yes.
Put those on top too.
Yeah.
Out of this world.
I'm good for just like a quick smash burger.
Yeah.
If you can do it well on a flat top, you're doing something right.
Odds Bar in Hamilton, they do a great smash burger.
They do.
But Odds, they have that, like everything has to have a salad. I totally disagree with that that whole serving principle.
I love their salad.
Just go for the chicken skin nachos.
Does it come with a salad? Because they always want to put a salad on my plate.
There's a little bit of lettuce, but it's not a salad.
Chicken skin nacho?
Yeah, fried chicken skins put on the top.
That sounds gross.
But that's a cool spot too, like tying into music, because one of the biggest bands in our country right now are tied into that place. So.
And the Arkells, yeah. Brent's a big Arkells fan.
Huge.
They do their annual Arkells rally.
Yeah.
Usually right around the same time as the Sound of Music. We had them on our stage a few years ago too. Good old Arkells.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. They is it Nick? Is one of the
And Max.
Yeah, Nick and Max, two of the guys from the bands are they've got an ownership stake in Odds. It is a fun little downtown spot for sure. You know, interesting talking about burgers. I'll go the other way and let's take it off the grill. Something that I've really been loving lately, and I had a killer version of it just in the last few weeks, is a steak tartare.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man.
We're going like uncooked beef now.
Uncooked beef.
Yeah, you can't beat it. There's a little winery called Westcott Vineyards down towards Jordan. And man, they make a killer steak tartare. I had to actually go and chat with the two chefs in the kitchen after to tell them it was probably one of the best that I've ever had.
Nice.
That's amazing.
So in our past lives, Brent and I worked together on a few different things. And he took me out for lunch once to a place in Paris, now called Edit, in the Arlington Hotel. And he ordered up these, was a deep fried zucchini squash.
Yeah, blossoms.
Yeah. Oh, man. When he's like, you got to try these. You got to try these. I'm thinking, like, it's a deep fried flour. I don't really want that. And then it came. Oh, boy, was it good.
Stuffed with ricotta cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Oh, yeah. And then we had a pate there that, I mean, you know, it was pretty much like flavored butter. It was great.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah. Yeah, those are the good old days. Now we spend a lot of time at Coop. We've gone a bit downhill. Coop and Nando's seems to be where we live these days.
Just a whole lot of chicken.
It is a whole lot of chicken. It's good. You got to get your protein in. I'm a gym guy. I'm a lifter. I got to get my protein. Good old Nando's and Coop.
True story. There's a lot of great spots downtown Burlington, though.
There are.
The restaurant scene in Hamilton, as we know, has been hopping for a bunch of years. And there's some pretty solid spots downtown Burlington as well. You can stroll up and down Brant Street, and there's a choice of 10 or 12 or more pretty solid locations in this
Absolutely.
Town.
All right. We're supposed to be talking about music. So, Mr. Ty. Now, I apologize. I don't know why, but I really want to call you Robertson Avenue, but it's Robbins Avenue. Where does that come from, first of all?
Robbins Avenue, so originally it was a full band at one point. I've been playing music for almost 17 years now, and
That's impressive since you're only 23.
You look like you're about about 15, so I'm amazed by that stat.
I was playing guitar from day one. No.
He came out with one. No?
No.
Oh.
No.
My bad.
You gotta like at least take a learning process. You can't just come out and learn.
With the ukulele. We're going to talk about learning guitar in a few minutes.
We are. But yeah, I've been playing for 17 years now in a bunch of different bands, just all local stuff. But one of the biggest ones before I get into Robins Avenue was a band called The Human Orchestra. And we were a 7/8-piece, depending on the show, kind of folk rock band, kind of in the same realm as like of Monsters and Men. Kind of both guys and girls, some trumpets, folk rock, all that kind of stuff. We actually played the Sound Music Festival.
You did,
yeah. That was one of my, like, when I was a kid and I went to the Sound of Music Festival, it was just my dream to play it one day. And not too many people actually get to see that as a kid and grow up and watch it and then actually do it.
That's really cool. And I'll tell you, you're about the third or fourth person that I've come across since I started working on the festival who shared that exact story of going to the festival as a kid and going, one day I want to be on that stage, and actually making that a reality is a huge accomplishment. And it's, you know, I guess we can kind of say we make dreams come true at the Sound of Music.
Yeah, now. Yeah. I have to just anecdotally tell this story. So we, every year, the Sound of Music Festival, I guess you'd say we support the YMCA's Battle of the Bands.
Yeah.
And the winning three bands, the first, second, and third, first plays our main stage. Second and third we put into our club series. The winners this year were a band called Obi, and Sarah Campbell Mills is their singer. She's phenomenal. The whole band is great, but you know, Sarah, just, she's one of those girls, she's going to go somewhere in this industry. But I had to laugh. We put them up on the main stage, and she was saying the same thing.
Like, I was there.
Yeah, like, this is my dream.
Didn't they do an Imagine Dragons?
Yeah, and they do a great cover of 21
Pilots.
Yeah. But, cool. You know, at one point, Sarah, who's just so sweet and so innocent, turns to Tom Wilson and goes, "Are you a performer too?"
You told me this earlier.
Yeah, and he laughs and he's like, yeah, I'll be up there. And she's like, oh, that's so cool. And then she walks out on stage and, you know, as if, you know, it was in those moments, she was the headliner of the Sound of Music, but not in a like pretentious, or it was just, it was so pure and it was so cool to watch them go out there. And it's really cool that we get to give those experiences. And well, maybe we'll see Robin's app up on Sound Music.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Cool. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
Oh, that's cool. But yeah, no, I played, I think it was about 2012. Mm-hmm. It's probably the more, around that year, give or take a year. And we played the old community stage, the used to be by the pier.
Yeah, the East Stage.
Which, it was awesome. I worked in Burlington at that time as well, so I had a lot of support come out, and I think we kind of estimated like 500 plus people were out there to see.
That's cool.
The Human Orchestra, which for a local band,
it's a great name. Human Orchestra.
Yeah, literally, it was like we had all the instruments you could think of, and it was a really cool time. And we did some really cool gigs out in Toronto, and did a full length, and recorded at Catherine North Studios in Hamilton, and Threshold Studios in Hamilton as well. So we did a lot of cool stuff. And times change, and people's lives change, and so that band is no longer, but we're all kind of doing different things. And eventually I kind of landed in a spot where I said, you know, I've been playing guitar in a band, or bass guitar, that's how I started, for a long time, and I kind of wanted to sing.
Nice.
And I wasn't really a singer. But in the Human Orchestra, I became like a secondary singer. So I did some lead parts on some songs, and I learned how to do harmonies and stuff like that. And I said, I kind of want to do this, but I don't really know how. So I just started. So I started writing. I made some friends in the music industry that kind of was digging the stuff I was doing. And that's kind of how Robins Avenue started. And now it's still going. So,
nice. I quite like the promo photos that I've seen of Robbins Avenue.
Yeah.
You're usually rocking a pretty cool like denim jacket or like an old bomber style jacket.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's like if you didn't know any better, it's like a boy band duo. The promos. No.
Pretty much. Like it
does look like it. I would go. I would go see it. You were just out in Calgary doing some stuff too.
I was. Yeah. I took a trip out there in the springtime, just to kind of play a gig or two that we had booked, and the person that's also in Robbins Avenue, Mike, he lived out in Calgary. That's where he was born, and he knew about this studio called OCL Studios. And if you know that area or you know the music industry out towards Alberta, OCL is one of the biggest names out there for country music
and
folk music, and a little bit of indie rock is they're starting to do a lot now. And I landed this impromptu tour of the studios. We texted a guy named Josh Willem, who's a producer engineer at OCL, who was friends with Mike for many years. And we said, we just landed in Calgary. A, are you at your studio today? And B, are you free?
So you just basically crashed someone's studio and said you're going to record us.
No, kind of.
That was my takeaway from that story. Is we landed and said, "There's a studio. Let's go use it."
I'm a big fan of just putting it all out there.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So that wasn't really the goal, but
so then we broke in.
Yeah. but what ended up happening is Josh texted us back and said, funny, I am at the studio, and B, I'm just doing some editing today, so I don't really have anybody in. So if you guys want to come for a tour, come on and see it.
Nice.
And it's a big ranch house, big, huge ranch house in the middle of the country, like nothing else around. Very secluded, and a lot of kind of country musicians, a lot of the studio session guys that play with Brett Kissel, for example, kind of have like a residency there, and
cool.
They're the studio guys that play on everybody's tracks, and it's their community is kind of surrounded around the studio. So it was a really, really cool place to see, and it was massive. Like,
yeah.
And it's decked out. I think the actual recording space, so I think it's Studio B is what they call it, was designed by, I think it's Sarah McLaughlin's sound engineer.
That's cool.
So it's a really...
That's very cool.
It's a really cool spot. Like, and the industry is definitely involved, and they're very well known. So I took this tour, and at the end of the tour, I thought the tour was done. And I was ready to put on my shoes and walk away, and Josh kept walking, and he went back into the control room, and then we just kind of hung out and we chatted, and he said, so have you recorded anything recently? And I said, oh, I have like a couple demos, and he's like, show me them. And I showed him a couple songs, and he dug it, which was really cool, because you never really know what someone's going to think when they listen to your music. And he didn't say anything while he listened. But what was really cool for me is that I watched his foot, and his foot was tapping along, and I could see that he was listening, and
he was digging it
and into it.
He's feeling it.
Yeah. And then we kind of finished the meeting, and he said, look, send me some demos, and if I can find a couple that I like, I'd be happy to work with you. I kind of have some really cool ideas of how we can take, which was kind of a indie folk band with a tad bit of country added to it, to more of a kind of an indie pop folk mix.
Yeah, and so it's interesting you say that, because I was trying to think of, I know you've played a couple of your songs for me in the past, and I know you're going to do a couple of songs for us here live in our current makeshift studio. Which is a boardroom with fans blowing. So if you hear background noise, we apologize for that. But I was trying to like really peg what genre to fit you in. But I think that's a cool thing of the music industry right now is it seems like people are very much breaking out of little mm-hmm. boxes. And it's not necessarily, oh, I'm country or I'm rock or I'm folk. It's and we're going to talk a little bit about some of these other artists that are up to these things. But that's very much how I listen to your music is you seem to flow between. You know, at one moment you're going, oh, yeah, this is kind of a cool rock song. And then the lyrics and the vocals kick in and you're going, oh, now it's a bit country. And then, you know, so Adam, like, what's your take on how do you define your genre as you're writing and as you're playing?
I think where I approach writing, and writing's pretty much new to me. Like, it's only been about 3 or 4 years that I've actually been doing it, where you're writing not only the music but the lyrics as well and kind of putting it together. But where I kind of take, you know, the spin on writing is that I'm just writing and if it's catchy, I'm going to roll with it. And that might turn into a more rocky song or that might turn into something that sounds a little country or it sounds like, oh, that's like a pop song. Like we can put some digital beats behind that. And I think... Yeah, like you said, like musicians are going outside of the box. It's really hard to pin down a lot of musicians now, right? And mm-hmm. you'll see it, like for example, like Taylor Swift, who was like country.
Yeah.
Like the small town girl from the States did the country. And now she has like rock songs thrown in there. She's got pop songs. Yeah. Like, and you're seeing like artists like just transform over time, and they're not really sticking to a genre anymore.
Yeah, I think of and Alanis Morissette is a great example too. Yeah. And early in her career, she was like pop all the way, and kind of changed that harder edge with Jagged Little Pill, and that's actually when she mm-hmm. sort of took off. And it's interesting too. We talk about crossing genres and really taking people out of these traditional silos that used to be there. I read a lot of musicians and band biographies, and what's fascinating to me is to hear about their influences early in their career and kind of what got them excited about music. And you know, there's people that will say in the same sentence that I was influenced by Al Jolson and Eric Clapton and Peter Gabriel.
Yeah,
very very yeah. divergent, different styles. Ty, what's kind of where do your influences lie? What got you excited about music? Who inspires you then and now?
So, when I started to pick up a guitar, originally I wanted to be a drummer,
and that everyone does,
and everybody like at some point wants to play drums.
That's the story of Alex and Eddie Van Halen. They actually switched instruments.
Yeah,
as kids. Yeah.
So originally I wanted to be a drummer, and my parents at the time. Their way.
Your parents at the time? Do you have new parents now? Or
my parents at that time.
There we go.
to get around that, because they didn't want a drum set in the house, you know, with a lot of noise, they said, well, you should learn an instrument. Like, you should learn how to read music. So I grew up playing a few different instruments and taking lessons. Actually learning how to read music and chart music and I did the whole like recitals and private concerts and all that kind of stuff. So I knew music. I took music like all throughout middle school and high school. And so music was always in my life. But where it kind of changed for me is that there was always a guitar sitting in the corner and in my family home when I was young. And one day I just asked, like, what is the significance of that guitar? Because it was never touched when I was a kid. But my mom's side comes from East Coast and New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. Mm-hmm. And their entire, like, upbringing was the Friday night kitchen parties.
Huge, huge with, music scene out there.
Yeah, with guitars and fiddles and drinks and people just like getting together like every single Friday night, Saturday night, and just pumping out like old tunes.
That's an age old saying, right? Like nothing brings people together like music and food. And that's why all the best parties are in the kitchen with music in the background. It's,
And so I have a lot of family members that a few are still around today, but a lot of them have passed because a lot of them are older. But that's where it comes from. It's these group of family members that just got together every single week, and they play like the like old country, like John Denver is like a huge one. Names are escaping me at the moment, but like if you go back, like that whole era of like folk and country is kind of where I started. And when I grew up, my influence, my very first band that I ever saw that I could remember was Bare Naked Ladies.
Nice.
And that's a good starting point.
And, absolutely.
And they're till this day, despite the fact that the full band is not together anymore, Stephen Page's voice is so powerful and unique that he was really like an inspiration to me when I was growing up. So Bare Naked Ladies, and they're one of those bands too. Like, you can't really pick a genre because their music is so vastly different. But they just know how to do it. So that was kind of like where music started with me. So I came from like a country folk roots background, and then I got into Bare Naked Ladies. And then growing up as a teenager, you know, you get into the rock, and my very first rock show where I stood on the floor, like in the mosh pit, was Incubus.
No, they still play great shows.
Yeah. And it was in like that kind of era as a young teenager. I was like, you know, I want to play guitar. I'm going to go home and pick up that guitar in the corner and I'm going to figure it out. And so I was always into like folk and country music, the old tunes, and I got into rock growing up. And now it's just, it's a mixture of things.
That's cool.
I really respect Tragically Hip for what they pulled off in their careers, and what Gord did on his like solo project as well, doing some really cool stuff. I really like focusing on Canadian bands. One of my favorite now, who is a solo artist but was in a band, is Tim Baker. And Tim played the festival this past year, but prior to that, Tim was in a band called Hey Rosetta, and Hey Rosetta to me is like my bread and butter in music. Like, I can listen to those albums on repeat, and it's just something. And again, where does it go back to? It goes back to the East Coast.
Yeah.
So like I really have ties, and I'm not from there. Like, I'm from Ontario, but it's in my nature. It's in my blood. And so I kind of stick towards more of like the acoustic, the folky, the poppy, the country-ish aspects.
That's cool.
And that's where...
Well, it's interesting too to hear you talk about coming from that, almost that formal music background. And it's interesting, like I had a very similar experience. So I went to university for music, and I was a jazz musician playing jazz trombone and jazz vocal. And I loved jazz because jazz, you know, you're handed a chord sheet to a very well-known famous song, but it's not, you know, this is a C to a D. It's the chords, and you get to bring yourself to it, and you get to add yourself to it, and you are encouraged to do that. But then, you know, 20 minutes later, you're sitting in piano, and they're going, well, no, this is Beethoven. It is played exactly like this. If you deviate from this, now you lose marks. And, you know, that expression that, you know, and arguably, of course, there are pianists out there who very much bring their own expression to it. But it was the fact that it was so prescribed of this is the way it's written, this is the way you will play it, versus that jazz free form, you know, bring yourself, do what you want to do, make it feel you. That experience of the prescribed bit of music actually like took me out of music. When I left university, I had no interest. I put my guitar down for about 12 years and didn't touch it. And it, you know, for me, it was really about I 10, 15 years ago, I decided, no, you know what, I've got to get back into this and start playing them again. And I lost so much of that technical stuff that they teach you, and you know, how to even like on the fly transpositions and things like this that really help as a session musician. But I find for me, I've really gone away from all the technical stuff. And you know, I tell people, like, I've been playing guitar for 20 years, which should mean I'm a great guitar player. Oh, I am not. Like, I very much hit that level of I'm a campfire guitar player. I sing and I play, and I'm happy with that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to get back into that technical world.
That's kind of what I aspire to be able to do. And actually, is the old campfire tunes.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we're going to get into that with Brent in a couple of minutes. But before that, Ty's going to do a couple of songs from us here. Why don't you go ahead and get yourself all set up there, Ty?
Yeah.
All right. So once again, you're on the Sound of Music Sessions. We're joined here by Ty Howie from Robins Ave. Now I'm going to read this bio because I think this is brilliantly written here. I'm going to do this in my best nice bio voice. With stories as honest, humble, and warm as the fireplace, after that 40 below game of shinny, Robins Avenue will quickly remind you what it means to be human. You'll find yourself singing along about love, hope, loss, and connection, mixed with their infectious hooks and a simple yet simplistic rhythm section. Their sound shakes up the conventional definition of Americana, pop, and roots rock. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live on Psalm Sessions, Ty Howie.
That was like one of the best intros I've ever heard.
It was pretty John Tesh like, I have to say.
Yeah.
Oh, then you ruined it though. You're supposed to go like right into the song, and but no, now here we are talking again. Ladies and gentlemen, live on Psalm Sessions, for your auditory pleasure, Mr. Ty Howie.
Do reflections untrue arise someone else? If you take your time, you realize no matter what path you take, I want you.
Sir,
thank you.
Very nice.
Awesome.
That's Ty Howie of Robins Ave. Now, are you still kind of doing mostly solo stuff, or are
yeah.
you?
Right now, you know, the project's taken a little bit of a turn. So, you know, this used to be a full band. This used to be a four-piece band.
Okay.
And again, like I said, like lives change, right? So
sure.
I had one guy move out to Halifax because his wife was becoming a doctor, and that's where her residency was going to be. And
so she Yoko'd you.
Yeah. Funny, I was like, I'm going to play Be My Yoko Ono by Barenaked Ladies next. It's actually on that capo, capo
nice.
5, too.
Nice.
But yeah, so they moved out there, and they're happy out there, and I got a guitar player that my band was more of like a secondary project because we weren't playing as often as his other projects as well. So he's doing a lot of stuff out there, and Mike, who's been kind of in a sense a band partner, a band manager. But also playing drums. His life has taken him overseas to Australia.
Wow.
For a while. And so that just leaves me. And I'm totally cool with that. And I love, like, I know this is a podcast and you can't see it, but, like, I love this guitar. It's a little Yamaha travel guitar. And
it's cute. It's like a real guitar, but smaller.
Yeah. And if you haven't met me, you'd realize, like, I'm not 6 foot tall. I'm not...
For those of you who can't see him, Ty is being modest. He is about 6 foot five. He could clearly, like, the muscles on him, if he wanted to rip a phone book in half, he could, just as a display.
Sweet.
He's got a ZZ Top-like beard, some ironic glasses, and...
This is terrible, because they're going to go look at, like, the promo shot about the bomber jacket and go...
The boy
that,
band?
Who's that
guy's
guy?
5 foot nothing.
That guy's 5 foot nothing. No, the way that I describe Ty's guitar is how you could also describe Ty. He's like a real person, only smaller.
Right.
Yeah.
So the guitar is actually fitting.
It's true.
And like why I actually like I do have like a full size Martin that I play as well. But why I love this guitar is just it's so easy to just pack it away, throw it on your back, show up to like a solo acoustic gig. So whether you're playing a small little venue or you're just off in the corner or whether you can play on the stage because it's electric too, is like you can just plug it in. And like guys that have kind of made this cool again. So like Ed Sheeran, like brought out the mini guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Another kind of Canadian artist that I cover a few of his songs and that I think is pretty cool. Scott Helma.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool guy, and I know he's been around these parts a few times.
He's also been on the Sound of Music stage before.
Yeah. And so he does some good stuff too, and he's also kind of like the another guy that you know pioneers using like a tiny guitar as well. So I'm kind of taking that aspect of it.
So in December, of course, the Burlington community lost a fairly large member of the musical community in Mike Taylor, a mm-hmm. beard guy from Walk Off the Earth. So we had our Mike Taylor tribute show, and I think I had worked for the festival for all of 3 weeks when we put that together. And it's interesting hearing you know, you talk about Bare Naked Ladies, and I was the same. Bare Naked Ladies were the pinnacle of music for me. I love 90s music, absolutely love 90s music, and the Bare Naked Ladies were the guys. And at the Mike Taylor memorial show, I came out of kind of the artist holding area, and not 5 feet away from me were the three guys from Bare Naked Ladies just warming up, and they're just jamming. And to be standing 5 feet away from the Bare Naked Ladies as they're playing, just hanging out, was like the most surreal moment of my musical career. It was crazy. And then Scott Helman was there.
Yeah.
And Scott Helman is another one. I mean, he's a young guy to begin with, but he looks very young as well.
Yeah, he does.
So one of our volunteers who was serving drinks to artists, Scott Helman walked over to her and says, yeah, you know, can I get a, I think it was like a Gin Smash product or something. And she looked at him and goes, do you have ID? It was good. He had a good sense of humor on him. That was a great show. It was unfortunate, of course, what it was for. And, you know, all of us from Sound of Music, we still send our love out to Walk Off the Earth. They're doing some pretty good things. They found some really cool ways of incorporating Mike back into
for
their
sure.
shows, even with him gone. And it's interesting, you know, we've talked about Walk Off the Earth a lot in the community. And You know, they're so much more than just musicians. They're performers, and when you go to their show, it's a full stage show. And mm-hmm. you know, to lose a guy like Mike, you've lost so much more than a friend and a musician. You've lost a starring character in the show. And but they've done some pretty amazing work to carry on his legacy. We at the Sound of Music, we'll soon be launching the Mike Taylor Bursary to help out some young person going into a music education. But yeah, there's a lot of great roots and history that have come out of this region in the musical world. And now, folks, that's my segue into, we are going to create a new music legend here in this room. That's right, folks. It is what's going to be my favorite segment on this show. It is time to teach Brent guitar.
I'm not exactly certain it's going to be my favorite segment. In time, I'm sure it will be.
It's going to be phenomenal. If you gentlemen would like to arm yourselves. So the way that this is going to work, now Brent does not play guitar. However, Brent owns an incredible piece of machinery in the form of a guitar.
Sure do.
That the last time I was at Brent's house, I found stuffed in the corner of a living room, completely out of tune, covered in dust, and it was hard to look at.
Just don't ever let Eddie Van Halen hear this.
Right. Okay. So Brent does not play guitar.
No, not even a bit.
Ty kind of plays guitar. So what we're going to do here, Ty, is you've got 3 to 5 minutes to teach Brent guitar. How's that sound?
That sounds... he looks terrified.
It's like Guitar for Dummies, well, right? It's like Cole's Notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, number one, he has a guitar. So that's like...
Yeah, I mean, I've taken the first step.
Step one.
Spent more money than I ever should have.
Do you have an amp? Or just that guitar?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah.
You do have an amp for it?
Sure do.
Okay.
Well,
because it's an electric that he's got.
Yeah, so no, I'm all kitted out. I just don't know what to do with it.
there's a lot of jokes there. Yeah.
This is also a very large guitar, I just want to say.
So Brent is currently holding on to a custom-made Cithara guitar. If you're unfamiliar with Cithara guitars, they are out of Hamilton. They make amazing instruments. And Brent is holding a custom autographed Sound of Music Cithara acoustic guitar, which may or may not be in tune. Do you want to give it a strum there, Brent?
There's some impressive names on here. I really legit hope I do this justice.
Do you even have a pick?
No, I don't have a pick.
I have two.
We're crushing it so far.
So here we go.
Lesson one.
So lesson one.
Here's a pick.
Here's a pick.
Have a pick.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
Good enough for jazz.
What do you want to teach him?
I just want to say I did that. That was me.
That was Brent.
That's me on the guitar.
Yeah.
Funny that you did that. That's like one of my very first things that I did play the guitar is just like strum the string singly. And then I was like, hey, look, I can do this.
My mom
was like, yes, honey.
That's
how you strummed E.
You can literally play the beginning of Nothing Else Matters, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's something.
So I'm literally following in Ty's footsteps right now, and I, too, will one day be on the Sound of Music stage, I believe.
I'm excited. What are you going to teach him, Ty?
You can just walk on.
Well, yeah, probably more in a working capacity. But
no. You could just walk on with a guitar. Literally like I think you have that power.
Yeah. He could. He could.
All right. So do we want to do like a full chord, or do we want to learn like power chords? Like I don't know.
This is your shtick. You're the teacher, so
it's your 3 minutes.
Yeah. And it begins.
Make it count.
It began 6 minutes ago.
Let's try a G chord.
Okay.
All right. So, have you ever strung a G chord ever?
A time or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go.
This is great.
It is.
So you're gonna take your pointer finger.
Gotcha.
And put it on. Second fret, second string.
Do you know what a fret is?
Yeah, I do.
You know frets?
Yeah, strings and frets, yep.
and then you're going to take your middle finger and put it on third fret, first string.
I'm going to take my middle finger and point it at Miles pretty soon.
I love how this is like, I don't know if there's a video on this or photos.
Oh,
but
there'll be photographic evidence.
If you can, you take your two remaining fingers and you put them on the third fret on the top two strings, I guess we're calling bottom strings.
Like that.
And if you strum. Oh my, look at that.
Whoa!
Not bad, eh?
That wasn't me strumming. That was actually Brent strumming.
That's
So if you're just like...
That blew me away. This is magic. I'm gonna cry.
Me too.
All right. So,
Wow.
So without... Because we can do a C now, but...
Okay. Wasn't it Phoebe and the old TV show Friends? Wasn't it the Bear Claw or something like that?
The Bear Claw?
Bear Claw.
Smelly Cat.
Smelly Cat. That's the one. Yeah, you know it.
That one.
My my daughter's been learning guitar. I teach her with a C chord, Dead Trip, because she'll do this like curled up finger thing and lay them down, and like that looks like Dead Shrimp. You can't do that. You can't play with Dead Shrimp.
Yeah. Well, now I'm getting to know what it's about to play until my fingers bled, because they're already hurting. So
one chord in.
No calluses on these.
None.
There you go.
None.
So
Brent does have very pretty hands.
I do.
So the easiest thing we can do right now, so instead of doing like a full C, which is a full switch, we can do a version of C.
Okay.
So it's like cat nine. So you're literally going to keep that same form.
Okay.
But what you're going to do is you're going to take your pointer in your middle, and you're just going to move them up. So one string each.
So,
yeah, just like that. So,
so I'm just going.
So, that's it. It's the only movement you're gonna do.
Well, that doesn't sound too good. Did it? That was actually horrendous. So I'm doing the Michael Jackson tongue with this too, right?
Yeah.
Is that it? No.
That's it. There you go.
There it is. You've also now just learned "Blister in the Sun."
That's true.
It's one of my least favorite songs.
It's great.
So if you're just like, okay. And then go up. Oh. Okay. Yeah. And then I go.
All right.
This is like a successful
performance. This actually, I'm not going to lie, this went 10 times better than I ever expected it to. I was legit hoping that this little segment was going to be the thing that would keep me laughing all week, but you kind of nailed it, so I'm sadly disappointed. I'm disappointed in your success. And ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time that we have for... Teach Brent Guitar. All right, and we're back. So Brent has now successfully learned the G chord and the C add 9 chord. Nailed it.
Today the G chord, tomorrow the world.
That's how that works.
I loved it. I loved it.
That's how that works.
Do I get to keep the pick?
No, those are not cheap. let's chat a little bit about music going on around here. Like, what's happening in the community? I know there's a couple things I'm excited about, and by community, you know, we're kind of looking at the Golden Horseshoe, and I just want to mention one that I went to. Niagara, that's still Golden Horseshoe,
we'll
right?
We'll call it Southern Ontario.
We'll call it Southern
Ontario.
I like
the Gordon Horseshoe.
The Gordon Horseshoe.
Yeah, yeah.
I was out in the Gordon Horseshoe.
Never been there, but I'm sure it's lovely.
No, my wife and I, we went down to Oast Beer Hall in Niagara. Right?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, it was, the beer was incredible.
Yeah.
And we saw, and we're going to chat a little bit about this guy later because I'm currently obsessed with him. We saw Ben Kaplan, and Ben is a Hamilton boy, lives out on the East Coast right now, and he's got some pretty cool things going on. But what a cool venue. Like, we sat outside, and it felt like you're just hanging out at the patio at your friend's house, and you had like 50 friends.
I think it's got the best of everything.
Oh.
It's a beautiful part of the province. It's a cool little venue, and the beer is
so good.
It's first class.
So good.
Yeah.
What else is going on around town? There's the Staples. Black Bull is always good for some live music. What is it? Friday night. It's, you know these guys, don't you?
I do. Yeah. Tommy Swick and Joel.
And Joel Gunther. Yep. 6 till 9 every Friday. What's up with you and Tommy?
Tommy's, I've known Tommy more like through the industry throughout the years, but...
You said you had some really inappropriate stories that you were going to tell.
No, I'm not going to tell.
I've got a really cool Tommy and Joel story really quickly.
Get it.
There was a restaurant that has since closed in downtown Hamilton. It was called Lake Road, and we were there about 3 years ago with my wife and another couple of friends. It was... was the, one of their birthdays. And we had dinner. The restaurant was pretty new, newly opened. And Tommy and Joel were playing in the restaurant when it sort of turned more to a nightclub-ish, pub-ish sort of late-night spot after the dinner hours. And it was the four of us, one other table of four that was left in the place at about 11 or 11:30 at night. And we just started shouting up songs to them and had a ton of fun. They joked back and forth with us. A bunch of the stuff that we were, you know, ridiculous suggestions like Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, and they just ripped it off and did it. And it was a blast. It was almost like having our own little kitchen party.
That's cool.
In the restaurant.
Like, Tommy is an like, excellent singer, excellent songwriter, and Joel is an amazing singer as well, and guitar player. But his like bank of songs that he can just pull out, Joel, like,
Like Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
But that's like,
just
cool.
Incredible. When guys can literally just pull out almost any song that you throw at them and be like, yeah, I'll get my way through that. And like, just incredible. Like, what?
See, I have to cheat. Whenever I'm doing, like if I'm playing a pub gig or anything like that, I've got one of those little mounts for the iPad on the on my mic stand. And I have all my songs saved in there because my memory just sucks too. So there's that. Have you ever, that made me think of the repertoire of songs. Have you ever seen that YouTube video of the two, it might be two or three guys that are like with three chords, you can play every song from the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it is so good.
I thought you were going to say, yeah, that's you.
That is me. I do know three chords, as a matter of fact. I actually might even know four, but don't test me on
that. Well, Brent knows two, so
you're halfway at my 20 years of history.
Catching up quickly.
Where else? So actually, this is a cool one. I want to say I'm super excited about this, but I'm a little bit cautious at the same time. So BPAC, the Burlington Performing Arts Center, on Halloween night is doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Acoustic. Yes. And it's the acoustic part that I'm hung up on. So I mentioned earlier, like, I actually used to be an actor, and I performed in the Rocky Horror Picture Show once. And one of my go-to karaoke songs, because I love karaoke, is I like to go to like the scummiest, diviest places where you often get those, you know, the old people that they don't like anything that's even remotely different. And I love to belt out Sweet Transvestite just to see how uncomfortable I can make the room. To me, though, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, like, that's every year my sister and I, we watch that. It's like high energy, and it's rock, and it's driving, and it's fun. And I mean, Richard O'Brien is a phenomenal musician and writer. Acoustic. I don't know how to feel about that. I feel like it's going to be a tough one too. Have you ever seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yeah, I actually, we did, we used to do like air band.
Oh yeah.
In high school. And in my grade 12 year, we did Time Warp.
Nice.
I was Riff Raff.
Riff Raff. That's so Richard O'Brien was Riff Raff. And yeah, it's so I don't know. I don't know how acoustic's going to go. I know I was chatting with them over there, and like, the thing that's really cool about the Rocky Horror Picture Show when you see it live is it's meant to be interactive. So when Brad and Janet get married, you throw rice at them. And when they're out in the rain, you're supposed to hold a newspaper over your head. And there's all these pieces, and you know, you can really get into it, and you can dress up like a time warper, and you can have so much fun with it. But I'm really hung up on how that's going to go acoustic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the time warp, right? Like, it's so punchy. And but, you know, I've got a young child, and I've got to do the trick-or-treating thing, so I think I'm going to miss out on seeing it, but I'm going to try to find someone who did and get them to tell me how it went. How about you guys? What else? What's going on around town? What do you know of?
I could do shameless self-promotion.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So also at the Burlington Performing Arts Center.
You?
Yeah.
What?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Look at that. You and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wow.
Yeah. Not the same night.
No.
Close, though.
Thanks for
so,
clarifying.
So, yeah, no. And by we, I mean myself and another very talented Burlington local
me?
Act.
Is it me?
No.
No,
you're not there.
No. Sorry.
Abby J. Hall.
Oh, great. We want to get her on the show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So Abby, again, played the festival this past year.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to get to go down and watch her do that with a full band. Because she usually will play by herself, but sometimes she'll get a full band. So I was really excited to see her up there on the main stage as well. So Abby and I are kind of doing like a co-headlining show at the Burlington Performing Arts Center on October 18th. Part of their Live and Local series initiative. And we're actually, we found that we're both playing solo. So I'm up first for almost an hour, doing some tunes, and then they'll usually take like an intermission there, and then Abby's up for an hour and a bit, doing her tunes. And yeah, so it's October 18th. Friday night at the Studio Theater.
Very cool.
Performing Arts Center.
We will make sure to publish this podcast on the 19th.
Sweet. Well, what's really cool, I think, which is going to be a cool treat for friends and family and people that are interested in coming to check out some new music, is that Abby and I are going to do a duet.
Hey.
Which... And not a cover. It's actually one of the songs that I wrote.
Nice.
And I had this idea that it could be a duet. And I sent her some lyrics and some ideas of like sharing parts and harmonies. So we're going to get together and do a song together.
Very cool.
Really cool.
What do you have going on around town there, Mr. Kinnaird?
Well, there is, as we said, a lot of local clubs with some great live music showcasing local artists around the region. Moonshine Cafe in Oakville has open stage, open mic on Tuesdays every week, and then they literally have live music every single night of the week.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can check that out online. Dickens always has live music. Something kind of cool, the 50th anniversary of Fleetwood Mac, The Rumours, is coming up as a tribute act that's playing at First Ontario Centre, and that's happening one night in October as well. So there's a ton of cool stuff going on.
There's, First Ontario Centre, Ghost, and Nothing More on October 17th. I, Ghost is a Swedish symphonic metal band, and Nothing More, kind of my personal, I keep saying New Year's resolution, but it's like mid-year, was to check out more kind of indie and not as big mainstream bands and really try to dig into music. And I love all those like symphonic metal, and one of my favorite bands is Snut Arctica. They're a Finnish power metal band. Nothing More is phenomenal. And so I'm going to that show. I'm excited for that one. Check it out. There's some cool things going on in the news. We had Grandson up on our stage on the Friday night. He headlined it. Honestly, one of the coolest moments for me in the festival was when he played Bloodwater. I was standing up, leaning against the stage, and you know, as the song keeps going, it kind of builds and builds and builds, and he's got a moment where he just, you know, screams, "What are you gonna do when there's blood in the water?" And as soon as he said that, I turned and I looked at the crowd, and there was easily 8,000 people, and they lost their minds. Like, the energy that kid brought to the stage was phenomenal.
I was there.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was really good.
Cool. Yeah, he didn't stop. It's interesting. I first learned about him through the course of looking at our schedule and when he was booked to play the festival. I had no idea anything about him, and started listening in the weeks and months leading up to the festival a little bit of his music, and a very talented young guy who's he's going places for sure.
He's going loads of places. So he's been working on collaborations all over the place. A few months back, a while back now, he posted a Twitter picture of him with Tom Morello, and then he went ahead and they released a remix copy of Bloodwater. It's excellent. Like, I've got to say, Grandson, his name's Jordan, he's been really kind of working that song, I'll say. He's got a lot of great tunes, but he's got 5 or 6 different edits now of Bloodwater, where he's been collaborating with different artists. And again, that transcendence of genres. Like, I'm not much of a rap guy, but Grandson's found this way of combining rock with this sort of indie feel and rap in such a way. And then he's got a really kind of strong message that he likes to bring with him when he's up on stage. And, you know, he can get a little political, and if you're not into that, then that could turn you off. But he just does a great show.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Tom Morello collaboration for me is a perfect fit for a kid like that. I mean, you look at a guy with the pedigree of Tom Morello coming from Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave, and like this guy is one heck of a talented musician himself.
Yeah.
And I really listened to a lot of the Audioslave stuff and still do. And what a cool mashup and fit to play with.
Absolutely.
With Grandson, yeah.
There's another cool collaboration that you brought up there, Brent.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You stumble across these things when you're surfing the internet and YouTube. And for those that don't already know, they'll learn it early and often for me that Van Halen is pretty much the best band on the planet.
Can I tell a quick story there?
Sure, you can.
So when Brent started with the festival, his first day on the job, comes in with his little man purse, and he is setting up his desk. He was setting up his desk, and I happen to know that Brent has a lovely wife and three children, and he takes out a picture frame, and I said, oh, is that the family? And he turned, and he goes, no, it's a photo of me and Eddie Van Halen. And to this day, it remains the only photo on his desk.
That's a true story. And I just want to say, sorry, honey.
Yeah. Yes. It's okay. She's never going to listen to this.
So yeah, you know, so Sammy Hagar, the second and oft-returning vocalist of the band, I just stumbled across, I think it was just about a week or so ago, he, as he loves to do, randomly appearing on stage with various artists, and he's friends with, you know, everyone in the music biz, and they all fly down to Cabo San Lucas and play at the club with him. He showed up on stage with Rob Thomas, and they did a little collaboration on the tune Smooth, and it was pretty cool to see, you know, here's knocking on the door of 72-year-old Sammy Hagar just wailing up there and having a good time. It's just, I don't know, it's fun. I love to see artists who come from different generations and different genres come together and do some cool things.
On the topic of Van Halen, so David Lee Roth invented Van Halen. I don't know if you know that. That's a bit of a claim that he's now staking.
Yeah, if you read the latest news articles about Dave Roth, he'll quite proudly proclaim that, you know, he pretty much is responsible for everything to do with that band,
yeah,
from designing the album covers to naming the band to even coaching Eddie on some guitar parts. So
yeah,
it's interesting. But Dave Roth is doing a little mini Las Vegas residency.
He is.
I mean, anybody who saw him in doing Just a Gigolo and California Girls knows that this is right up his alley. But he's doing about 10 or 12 shows, and then apparently is going to go on the road next summer and do some more solo gigs.
This is what he's saying. So he's going to be doing a 9-show residency at the House of Blues in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
9 shows. And it's interesting. So this is the second time he's done Vegas. He did it back in the 90s too.
He did. He did indeed. Yeah. And I think it wasn't terribly successful. So let's hope 2.0.
Yeah. I love his claims that like he did everything. It reminds me of and it's a band I truly don't like, but Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
So I think it was their second, it might have been their first or second studio album. Billy Corgan went in and re-recorded a ton of other parts because he just wasn't happy with how his band sounded, but he didn't tell the band he was going to do that.
Yeah.
So he just went in and was like, I'm going to redo the bass because I'll do it better. And he did. And like these guys that like don't play well in the sandbox, it blows me away given how collaborative the music world is, right? But yeah, it's kind of nuts.
I think it's sometimes about managing some of that ego. And
a
guy like David Lee Roth is well known for a lot of pretty outrageous quotes. And one of the ones he says, you know, we talked earlier about Ty, you know, coming out with a guitar as he was born. And I remember David Lee Roth once said he when he was born, he came out with a Hawaiian shirt on, and he said, I tipped the nurse $0.50 and said, which way is Hollywood? So he's got the attitude
great.
Right there, right?
That's great. So the last guy I just want to mention, because I'm really flying his flag lately, is Ben Kaplan.
Yeah.
So Ben, I don't even, you talk about transcendence of genres. I don't even know how to peg this guy. He is like gypsy folk rock.
That's a good way to say it.
Oh, he looks straight up homeless. Like he really does. He's got this massive beard, this huge mane of hair. He's got a lot of themes around Judaism and kind of growing up in this very strong Jewish household. And he's got just, his tunes are incredible. And I've seen him live twice now. So he, again, transcendence, he's got this new theater venture called Old Stock, A Refugee Love Story. It's touted as a humorously dark folktale woven together with a high-energy concert. It's been getting like 5-star reviews from some major, major critics in the world. It's Hannah Moscovich is the playwright, Christian Barry directing, and then Ben Kaplan, who is in it and wrote this music. If you haven't heard Ben Kaplan, like, you really need to go check him out. It's cool. On that note, on the topic of being cool, why don't we get our buddy Ty here, which, once again, Ty, we super appreciate you coming and helping us out today.
This is awesome.
Why don't we get you to play us out a little bit? You want to do one more tune for us?
Sure.
All right. Well, ladies and gents, he's going to grab his guitar, his little baby guitar. And once again, we want to thank our guest today, Ty Howie of Robbins Ave. You can check him out at the Burlington Performing Arts Center on October 18th. And where else can we find you, Ty? Can we find you online?
We find you? RobbinsAvenue.com, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. We're out there and slowly growing.
We're out there and slowly growing.
Cool, yeah. Cool to have you here. Thanks.
Yeah, man.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
This is fun.
All right. Rock it out, sir.
Waiting for that time they break. No warrior to roam. Always questioning roads to take. Oh, oh. Push, pull, bend, break away for a change of scenery. Walk for days just to run back home. Oh, gonna find a way. Place to lay all dark and gray. Then you came through. Gonna find a way. Find a way home. Find a way home. Home. Found it all just to calm down. Forward. Back around, found it all just to calm down. Found it all just to calm down. Forward, back around, found it all just to calm back home. Oh.
That's Ty Howie of Robbins Ave. Thanks again for joining us here today. Ty, from all of us at the Sound of Music Sessions, I have been half of your hosting team. I'm Miles, and over there we've got...
It's Brent.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Ty, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, cheers all. That's In the Can.